All right, if you would turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. It's a very familiar piece of scripture. Most everybody has read this and have at one point or another in their Bible reading. And so this is a continuance with the whole series called You Asked For It. By the way, I just want to put in a plug for those that are listening online. We thank you so much that you have chosen to click on us this morning, and I pray that the message that you hear at this moment transforms your life. And so thank you for tuning in and listening. We encourage you to join us every Sunday at 9 a.m. All right, so if you would, again, Genesis 2, verses 24. Somebody, again, wrote in and asked the question, how do you have an emotionally healthy marriage? And so I began to study this week, and so this is kind of what God put on my heart, and I hope that it ministers to you. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word to relationships and in marriage. And Lord, you not only want us happy, but you want us emotionally happy as well. And so, Father, we ask that you would anoint our ears to hear. And Lord, I pray that through this, Lord, we will adhere to your word, that transformation will happen not only in our marriages, but also in relationships altogether. And so, Lord, we thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So, no marriage that is good because of chemistry only, all right? Right? No marriage is a good marriage simply because you found your soulmate. No marriage is a good marriage simply because of good luck, good fortune. All marriage requires one thing, work. Everybody say it with me. One, two, three, work. It requires work. Marriage and relationships in general is not a passive thing. There's never a point where you put it on cruise control and turn your eye away. It requires constant work, constant tending, constant re-evaluing. Because the moment you put it on cruise control, the moment you say, I've got this, the moment that you say, I no longer have to deal with this area, is the moment things begin to slowly dissipate and fall apart. And generally, it's not massive things that cause destruction. It's those small things that we put into a basket, into a box, and then you look into the box and you're like, well, that wasn't much. You know, I didn't see that hurt anything. So the next little thing, you don't deal with it, and you put it in there again. Still, it's rattling around in the box. You got plenty of room for more small things that really don't mean that much. Until you can't lift the box and you wonder how in the world you got there. Marriage takes work. So Genesis 2, verse 24, just want to pull some things out of this. God gave us a few principles concerning marriage. So here we go. It says this, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. There are a couple things, again, I want to draw from this scripture. Number one, it says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother. This is the law of priority. Everybody say priority. For example, if your work comes before your marriage will not work. If your mother comes before your marriage, it will not work. If your father and his opinion comes before your marriage, it will not work. If your children come before your... Now listen to me. If your children come before your marriage, it will not... I'm going to say that like 10 times. It will not work. Because they're... Guess what is going to happen with your kids? You're going to grow up. And you're going to turn around and go, who are you? And what are you doing in my spot? And we're going to look at each other and go, how did this happen? This happened so quickly, right? Because you're going to have a baby and it's going to be all about that baby, and it's going to be like Eric and Megan just had their baby. I don't know if some of you guys knew that, but that was awesome, right? And had his first little bath yesterday, I guess. Saw some pictures, and they're going to be all about that baby. And there's going to be a season where you're not going to get sleep. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. You're not going to get sleep. You're going to be irritable, right? That is a season. The kids are going to grow up to a point where you don't have to give them baths anymore, and that is awesome. I love that. That'd be weird right now, right? Christian's going to be 18 on Tuesday. That's not cool. And so I don't have to put them to bed anymore, right? I don't have to sit by their bed and wait for them to fall asleep because they heard something in their closet. I don't have to do that anymore, right? So Christian is driving. He's about to be an adult. That is weird. All right? And so you just wake up one morning and you have two little kids, and then you blink, and they're going to be seniors in high school. You blink again, and they're going to get married. Blink again, they're out of the house. Oh, wait, let me put that, that's reverse. They're going to be out of the house, and they're going to get married, right? There's no getting married and staying in the house. But it's true, and then seasons in life happen. But the one thing, the season that is constant is your marriage. Kids are for a season. Marriage is till death do us part. And because of that, we've got to take close attention to our relationship, not putting things on cruise control, not putting small things in a box and leaving them unattended until we can't lift the box and it brings devastation and we wonder how in the world we got here. And so Scripture says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother. This is the law of priority, all right? And so the second thing is, and I want to draw this from this piece of Scripture, is this, and cleave, everybody say cleave, to your wife. When I think about cleave, I think about, there's a picture that I want to show you here real quick. When I think about cleave, we don't say this anymore. This is what I think about when you think about cleave, right? Don't you guys just love sloths? I mean, like, this has nothing to do with my message at all. I just like sloths. Like, I have a weird deal, all right? I just feel like the next animal I want to get is a sloth. You can set them in one corner of your house and come back 8 hours after work, and they're still about 10 feet away from that corner, right? There's nothing you got to do. But here, when you think about cleaving, this is the first thing I thought of. And I was like, that is so cool. So it cleaving, or we don't use that word anymore, okay? This is not words that we use anymore. But when you think about it, that's the first thing that popped into my head was that, all right? And so this term we really don't use anymore, but it has a powerful implications. The definition of cleave means to pursue with all of your energy. To pursue with all of your energy. All right? You're going to have to pursue your spouse with all of your energy. In other words, it's going to take work. To be honest, every part of your marriage requires your pursuit of all of your energy. Autopilot is unacceptable. You got to work at it. You got to pursue it. Leave your best energy for your marriage because nothing else matters more than that. Can I get an amen? Nothing else matters. And so here's a few things that Dana and I have learned over the past 20 years of marriage. And I just want to share four basic principles with you this morning. All right? Number one, if you're taking notes, first principle is praying and trusting God together. Now, I know that sounds basic, but it isn't. It's tough. When people come to me and Dana and for marriage counseling or for premarital counseling, one of the first things we talk about is praying together, pursuing God together. Not separately as separate entities, because the Bible says the two have become what? One flesh. One flesh. And so pursue God together. Pray together. Prayer helps settle a lot of arguments. It helps bring peace into your home almost instantaneous. Because when you pray and hold each other's hands, you're praying to the Lord and asking Him for resolution, asking Him for peace, and instantaneously He brings it. Dana and I never fight. We do. Forgive me, Lord. We fight. We do. It's part of marriage, all right? And so part of marriage is also arguing. That's just the way it is. You get to be like ninjas, right? You're very good at it. Very precise. You know how to hurt your spouse. You know how to leave them hanging. You know how to sting them just enough to get their attention. You know how to manipulate just enough. Oh, don't look at me with those holy eyes. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Pursue God together. I'm not saying that you have to pray every single day together. But if your spouse asks you to pray with them and you feel too awkward or weird to do it, then you need to start practicing that. When we first got married, my prayer life was my prayer life. Her prayer life was her prayer life. That's just the way it was. And don't come into my prayer life, all right? So when we got married, Dana started wanting to know how I felt. Who wants to know stuff like that? Right? Who wants to? I don't know. You don't have to tell me everything you feel, and I'm okay with that. So why would you want to know how I feel, right? Hey, Jimmy, what you been praying about? Why do you want to know what I'm praying about? That's private stuff. I've never shared that stuff with anybody. I'm your wife now. I know that. You pray over there, wife. I pray right here, husband, right? And so, but Dana began to teach me that we are one, all right? And that praying together helps us pursue God together. And if it's too awkward for you to pray, husbands, I'm speaking to you, man up and pray with your wife. Do it until it's familiar to you. Do it until it's like breathing to you. If your wife says, honey, I need you to pray with me, pray the most awkward prayer. However it comes out of your mouth, pray with your wife. Wives, pray over your husband. Stop complaining about what your husband doesn't do and bring it before the Lord and ask the Lord to deal with your husband. Amen? Because he's not going to manipulate you, your husband. He's going to bring conviction that brings repentance and that brings you a better husband. Can I get an amen? Pursue God together. Pray together. Don't do it just separately. Pray separately, yes. But when your spouse says, I feel like we need to pray together, don't deny it. Shut the TV off. Put the controller down. Turn off whatever it is you're watching. Put down the gaming controller. Pray with one another. Put the kids to bed. Pray with one another. Pursue God together. And when you do that, it brings a deeper relationship, far deeper than you could ever imagine. In intimacy, emotionally praying together. Have your spouse pray over you. Thank God that Dana prays over me. I pray over her. We do that because we love one another. We know the value of praying over each other. Pursue God together. If your spouse is praying over a better job or praying through about something in his life that he or she needs to get rid of, pray with them. Don't go, "I hope it works out." Pray together. Pursue God together. Number two, resolve negative feelings quickly. Resolve negative feelings quickly. Resolve arguments quickly. The Bible says, do not let the sun go down on your what? Anger. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Okay, Ephesians 4, 26 verse 20, through 27 says this. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. First and foremost, listen to your pastor this morning. It is okay to be angry. God got angry. He gets angry. He doesn't just sit up there with a halo going, "Oh, that little rascal." God gets angry. But in your anger, do not sin. But this is the problem. Yesterday's anger is a problem. That is a deposit into that box I'm talking about. Yesterday's anger is a problem. We need to deal with those. And so listen to me closely. You allow the devil, when we don't deal with the anger today, we allow the devil a foothold. And we allow the devil to interpret your spouse's behavior for you. That's good stuff. What is the devil? He is the king of lies, right? That is what he does. And if he can manipulate and lie to Adam and Eve in a place of perfection, where God comes down in the cool of the day, in the evening, and walks with them, if he can get his foot in the door and in perfection, then he can get it in your marriage as well. And the way he does that is by not dealing with unresolved issues in our lives. We put it on cruise control. If we don't talk about it, it's not there. If we don't deal with it, then we can put on our face, we can raise our kids, and we can deal with it after the kids are out of the house. Get back to me and tell me how that works out. We have to deal with things now, quickly. Because if we don't, we allow the enemy to come in and interpret our spouse's intentions. You will be convinced that your spouse is the problem, and getting out of the relationship is a solution. Good marriages aren't good marriages because they are without anger. Everybody gets angry. Look at your neighbor and say, "Everybody gets angry." Some of you afraid to look. Good marriages are good marriages when you can process your anger properly and quickly. And how can you do that? Number one, give your spouse the right to complain. Give your spouse the right to complain. Every store has a place where you can go and present your complaint. Why do they do that? It's not because they love to hear it. It's because they want to know how to serve you better. They want feedback even if it's negative. Also, they can serve you better. And we, in our marriages and our relationships, we should have a complaint department where we feel safe to come to you and say, "I have this." So we need to give our spouse the right to complain. And I'm not talking about criticizing, and I'm not talking about accusing. There's a difference between complaining and criticizing. The two are completely opposite. Now, let me explain. Criticizing is pointing your finger and making accusations like, well, you do this and you did that, and I know why you said this, and I know why you said that, right? That is criticizing. That is accusatory behavior. And what happens? The defenses go up. We can't give a real reason why we said this and why we did that, because defenses go up and we have allowed the enemy to interpret our spouse's behavior when we don't deal with these things. And so complaining, on the other hand, is not about you. Complaining is about me. Okay? So let's say Dana says something that hurt my feelings, and I say, Dana, you said something the other day that bothered me, and I want you to know how that made me feel. I wanted you to know kind of how I was thinking about that. See, that's not leveling an accusation. That's not belittling her character. That's not accusing her of manipulating me at all. I might be feeling this way because I'm immature and heard the wrong thing, which is commonly the case, right? I don't stand up here before you telling you we have it all together, because we don't. We deal in all of these things. But at some point or another, we have learned in this process to learn how to complain to one another so that we're not tearing each other down. We're not belittling one another. Or it may be that we just simply misheard and we didn't get the story correct. And here's what criticizing sounds like. Dana, you said something to me that hurt me, and I'm going to tell you why. I know that you hurt me because you were evil just like your mama. Right? And then all of a sudden it gets accusatory. We begin to tear down rather than try to solve the issue. We try to win the fight, and it gets bloody, it gets dirty, it makes us crumble, to the point where we can't talk to one another at all. And then that box begins to overflow to where we don't know what to do, and we're overwhelmed and we want to call it quits. There's a difference between the two. Now, number three, have fun together. This is how you fell in love, right? You didn't fall in love at a funeral. You were having a good time together. When you went out on your first date together, you wanted it to what? Be perfect. You wanted to put your best foot forward. Why is it that we take that best foot forward at some point and we place that foot directly into our mouths? We quit having fun. Why do we do that? Because we got kids to raise. They come first. We've got bills to pay. That comes first. We've got issues to go through. That comes first. And we have forgotten how to have fun together. Well, I don't have time to schedule a romantic dinner. I don't have time to go out to a movie. I don't have time for that. I've got to take my kids to baseball. I've got to take my kids to soccer. I've got to take the kids to do this. I got this school function. We have a rule in our house. Our kids get to do one sport at a time. That's it. I don't live to take my kids to sporting events. Y'all should be clapping your heads off right now, because that is the way we have raised our kids. It is more important to me that our kids see their mom and dad in a healthy relationship. We don't try to keep arguments from them. We try to keep it away from them, but they know that we argue sometimes. But they also see us how we love one another, how we respect one another, how we pray for one another and encourage one another. I kiss my wife in front of my boys. My boys are like, this is stuff that makes them cringe now, but later, hopefully, they can learn and bring that into their relationship as well. Have fun together. Men don't want to be mothered. They've already got one, right? And listen, I'm a different person when I'm at home. My boys can attest to it. My wife can attest to it. Sometimes they look at me like, I don't even know if you have a brain. You know why? Because I am goofy. I cut up. I'm as jovial as you possibly can be. Because having fun is important. We miss that. We're like, okay, we put our best foot forward. We got married. It's over. I don't have to do that anymore. I don't have to have fun. We got kids. We got this. We got that. We got all these different things. And we've forgotten that we are to have fun. You are never better when you're having fun together. Out of the top five things men value in marriage, fun with their wives is at the top of the list. That's just the way it is. Now listen, if you take sex and fun out of a marriage, you have effectively created a business relationship. That's what you've done. You've created a business relationship. You have created a contract between you and this other person. And no fun is in the equation. We just got to take care of business and get through life. And hopefully we can have some kind of retirement and tolerate one another. Now I know I'm presenting extremes here, but we need to value fun. Have fun. If you don't have time to do a romantic dinner and all, who has time to do that every week? I don't. Dana and I have started a thing where it just happened. We're walking around the block together in the evenings. Not every day, but most evenings we'll go take a walk. Sometimes we'll take the dog along. And what happens when you do stuff like that? You do something called talking. I believe that's the term, talking. You start talking about your day. Before you know it, you're goofing off together. Before you know it, you're arguing on who's going to pick up Mika's poop, right? And it's the small things in life. It's the small. It's not the grand gestures. It's the small things. Learn how to have fun together again. Learn how to laugh at one another. Bring your defenses down and laugh at each other. Poke fun at one another. Trust me, it works. Try to be goofy every once in a while and enjoy your spouse, why don't you? Number four, build close relationships individually and as a couple with other believers. Put those healthy relationships in your lives. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says this, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good character." Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 says this, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." If there is ever a time to actively pursue healthy Christian relationships, it's right here and it's right now. The days we are living in is increasingly becoming evil. Your friends are your future. Amen? Be careful about who you allow into your life. Sometimes this cannot be accomplished without letting go of unhealthy relationships in our past. Sometimes we have to cut off unhealthy relationships that we have. Amen? Those are hard. Those are difficult. But that's why it's so important to be a part of a healthy body that values genuine, biblical, healthy relationships. I say you're truly not friends until you go to each other's houses, until you see the pictures on their wall, until you ask about their family, until you see how they live, until you share a meal together. That's intimacy. That's healthy relationships. Amen? It's investing time in one another. Slow down. Cut things out of your life that's just sheer busyness. Count the cost in your relationships. Does this relationship build me up or does it tear me down? Is this relationship toxic or is it healthy? Am I toxic or am I healthy? Evaluate those things together and make those decisions together as a couple. Allow healthy voices in your life. That's why we have a Get Connected board in the back so that you can sign up and car wash together, fry brats together, have couples nights together and watch each other say stupid phrases with these things in your mouth and watch you guys slobber all over. It's fun. It's a good time. There's a reason why we don't do Bible studies every time we get together. Right? It's just kind of like putting it this way. Every time we have pastor appreciation, right? People just believe that pastors love crosses and praying hands, all right? Right? Man, I love Cabela's. Ain't nothing spiritual about Cabela's. Love me some gift cards. I don't know how I'm plugging this stuff. But it's that stereotype that you got to, when you come together, you gotta do Bible study. No. Man, go bowling. Go to each other's house, play cornhole, have a good time with one another. Don't be upset because Pastor Jimmy didn't have time for you on Sunday morning. I should be the last person on your list when you come to church. Man, I can't wait to see. I can't wait to talk to. If we value healthy relationships, the Bible says if you want friends, show yourself friendly. Open up your house and allow those healthy relationships to come in. Amen? Sometimes this can't be accomplished without letting go of unhealthy relationships. We've got to cut it loose. Be vigilant and be on your guard about who you allow in your life to influence you and your spouse. Do not let anyone entangle you once again into the sin that you just came out of and got the victory over. Do not give the enemy back a single inch of ground that you have taken. Amen? Because if you do, you give the devil a foothold. You give him a foot in the door, and as bad as you want to shut it, you can't do it because you've allowed the enemy to come in. That's why we need healthy relationships so that we can allow those healthy relationships to pull us out. The sick do not go to the sick for healing. They go to the healthy. And so these are the principles that we have learned. Build close relationships individually and as a couple with other believers. Have fun together, all right? Resolve negative feelings quickly. Do not let them fester. And pray and trust God together. These are principles that Dana and I have learned over almost 21 years. September 6th will be 21 years that we've been married. 22 years total that we've been together. And these are just some of the things that we have learned. They're not earth-shattering, but they will rock your world if you put them in place. They'll bring health and stability to your relationships. You want to know how to have an emotionally healthy relationship? Apply these four things to your life. Don't just listen to this Sunday. Go back when it's put up online and listen to it again. Listen to it with your spouse. I heard somebody say one time, this is a couple of years ago, that some of their date nights include them sitting around online listening to me preach the following Sunday. Now, I'm not saying you got to do that. All right? I can't even listen to me preach, all right? And so, but invest in one another. Don't let things fester in your life. Don't ignore it and hope that it's going to go away the next day, because it will not. That problem will begin to multiply and begin to take over your life if you let it. Amen? Would you stand with me? this morning. I just wanted to read Genesis 2:24 one more time. It says, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife." That means to pursue with all your energy. You're not pursuing when you're on autopilot. You're distracted. This is fine. We're okay. Autopilot. Pursue. Love fiercely. Demand in your marriage that nothing will come between you and your spouse. Not your hobbies, not your kids, not money, not possessions, not any issue. And that you pursue one another fiercely. Love each other with intention like you mean it. Pray over one another. Pray God's blessing over your husband. Pray God's blessing over your wife. Pray over your kids together. Pray over your problems together. Even when your spouse doesn't want to do it, pray anyway. You don't have to hold hands. Just pray for them across the room. Well, I'm praying for you anyway. Because I love you fiercely. And I'm not going to let anything come between you and me. That problem is not going to cause a foothold in our marriage. We're never going to open that door again. God has given us the victory in this place, and I see a little inkling of it, and I'm coming against that now. Not you. I'm coming against that in Jesus' name. Because I love you. Till death do us part, I love you. I love my kids, but man, I love you more. There's God, and there's you. Everything else comes after that. And I value you more than anything else. I'm committed to you more than any other person. Nobody else's opinion matters more than yours. When I am the most confused, I come to you. I trust your voice. That's how we have an emotionally stable, healthy relationship. Amen. It's fierce. You got to work at it. It's intentional. It's laser focused. And it takes all of your energy. And God can restore even the most broken. In an instant, He can restore. In an instant, with "honey, I'm sorry," He can renew and bring peace to your house just like that. Dana and I had a season of a couple of weeks of just anything that we said, it went through the irritation lens. We got an argument over, what was it? Soap. She changed soap on me. But what happened was is that we were irritated about other things, and I allowed the soap to go through that lens of unresolved issues. And the soap wasn't the issue. It was the unresolved feelings that was the issue. And we had allowed the enemy to interpret our spouse's words. And I had enough. So I went up to the room, started reading. Dana came up. And she's like, "This is ridiculous. What are we doing? Are we new at this?" And I said, Give me your hands. This is done." And I just began to pray over her. She was praying for me. And instantaneously, peace was restored in our house again. Instantly, Because when you're praying, you're not praying who's right and who's wrong. That's not praying. Praying is, Lord, we're done. And I humble myself before you, and I humble myself before my wife. And I give up my right to be right. And I just want to love my wife. Instantly, instantaneously, peace was restored again. I don't stand up here before you saying that we never argue and I pray over her every time she breathes and I have butterflies in my stomach every time I see her. I don't say that, but I can tell you she's the love of my life. I looked at her a few weeks ago while we were driving down the road and I said, honey, you make me so happy. I don't think I've ever been more happy in all my life. I love you. She was driving. She almost wrecked. We were going to pick up flowers from a person's house. It's just what was going through my head, and I just had to say it. I'm not a, like, crazy, mushy guy, but if it's about my wife, I'm going to say it. You know why? Because I want to pursue her passionately. Almost 21 years into it, and I still want to pursue her passionately. And this morning, I want to encourage you to do the same thing. Don't strive for perfection. Don't do it. But be genuine with one another. Be real and raw with one another. And when you do that, God is going to restore your marriage. He's going to renew you. He's going to make you fall in love with your husband all over again. He's going to make you fall in love with your wife all over again. Be mushy. Have fun with one another. Don't let things sit. Deal with them. Put your spouse first. Amen. Could I have all husbands and wives come forward this morning? If you're an adult, you're dating in a relationship, come forward. Just come forward. Even if your husband, your wife's not here, just come forward. I'm gonna get all of you before it's over with. Come forward. Come on up here, honey. Grab the mic. Grab each other's hands. I'm just going to pray over you this morning. And as I do that, guys, I want to challenge you to do something. If your wife is here with you, pray over her as I'm praying. Do that. Wives, return the favor. Pray over your husbands. If you don't know what to say, just say, Lord, I pronounce a blessing on my wife. I love her. Amen. Husbands, same thing. Wives, same thing. The word you speak over your spouse is powerful. Nobody else can bless your spouse like you can. And on the other hand, no one can curse your spouse like you can. So pronounce blessing. Amen. Pronounce blessing this morning. I'm going to have Dana pray over you guys. And as we're doing that, just receive that and pray over one another. All right? Honey, go ahead. Let's bow our heads.
Father, we just come before you. We thank you that you have set up the importance of marriage before us.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we thank you that you have given us principles to live our lives by and to establish ourselves in your word. Father, I just speak over each marriage here today, each relationship over here today. And Father, I pray first and foremost that you would be the center of it all.
Yes,
Lord, we know that if we don't make you Lord of all things, then we will have the tendency to try to do that ourselves. Father, I pray that whatever pride has been within our lives that has caused us to not want to apologize when we know we should, to admit faults when we know we should, that you would reveal that to us. We know that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, that he's not going to push his way on us. But Lord, today we give you permission to shine your light on us and show us the weaknesses, show us the places in our lives that may have been an issue that causes us to go in circles, that causes us to go around the mountain over and over again. Father, I pray that you just break the cycle today.
Yes, Jesus.
Lord, I pray for health. I pray for restoration, that you are a restorer of the brethren. And I thank you that you are mending broken hearts today.
Yes, Lord.
Whatever has gone on in the past, we recognize that there was hurt in the past. But Lord, I pray that you would cover that with the blood of Jesus so that each person can now move forward and build off of what it is that you have done and then begin to see what it is that you want to do in their relationship. Father, I thank you for health and strength and vitality. I thank you for communication in each couple. For those that have a hard time talking, for those who have a hard time communicating, I pray, Lord, that you would give them a voice. Father, give them a voice so that they can articulate what it is that they want to say, the things that are inside of their hearts, that they be able to verbalize those things to their spouse and to you. And that they begin to see the importance of inviting you into their relationship. Because without you, Lord, we are doomed to fail. But we thank you, Lord, that you have already established us, that you want us to succeed. You want us to model a good, healthy relationship to those that are watching us, either in the workplace, at a church, in the store, wherever it is that we are. That we'd be an example and that we would show the love of Christ and that we would be Jesus to one another. Father, help us to love one another as Christ loved the church and gave his life up for it. Lord, we just bless each person here today. We thank you that from this day forward, you're going to do something special and unique in each one of their lives. And many of them are going to even have a testimony from this day forward that's going to revolutionize them and others that are going to come in their pathway. Lord, let today what we have heard, the truth that we have heard, not just resonate in our ears, but go deep within our spirits and make a change. That we would not continue to be the way and do the same things that we've always done, but to break that cycle. And say, today is the day. Enough is enough. We are going to model our relationship after what Christ has established in his word. In Jesus' name.
Father, I ask for specifically for men here today, God, that they would love their spouse fiercely. Help them to be the covering, the priest of the home this morning. I pray, Father, that you would release all feelings of pride, all feelings of fear and nervousness, and let them be a fierce protector of their home. In Jesus' name. God, you have called the men to be the priest of the home, to be the covering. And Lord, they set the spiritual tone in their house. And I pray, Father, that their love for you spills out up out of their life, onto their spouse, down to their children, and throughout their lives. I thank you, Father, for that fierce love, that cleaving, that pursuing fiercely with all of their energy. Let nothing come between them. Father, we love you. We thank you that you restore our relationships. You renew in an instant what the devil has taken over the course of years. In an instant, you bring healing. You bring peace in an instant. Because through humility, Lord, is where healing is, where restoration is. Lord, you lead me through still waters. You restore my soul. So, Lord, I thank you for restoring here today, that we can once again take our finger off that cruise control button and love our spouses fiercely with focus. In Jesus' name, God, we trust you for this. And Lord, we agree to walk in this. So Lord, we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Isn't God good? I love it. Give your spouse a hug. If you don't have your spouse here, hug somebody else. All right. Isn't marriage good? Marriage is a good thing. Amen. Listen, this morning I want to encourage you to get to know people that you're going to church with, all right? You guys are dismissed. Enjoy your Sunday. If you got time at 6:45, come out and watch us play. It's going to be fun. You guys are dismissed. God bless you guys.